This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
One of the most amazing discoveries in biblical archaeology over the past couple decades is the synagogue at Hukok, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. The floor was filled with mosaics illustrating biblical stories, and there's more, including tunnels where villagers hid from Roman troops. It's not quite ready for visitors yet, but the Secrets of Hukok is the name of a new exhibit nearby at the Yigal Alon Center at Kibbutz Ginosar, and this is the cover story of the summer issue of Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. I'm joined by my co-editor, Professor Clyde Billington, to talk about this and other stories from the news digest of this latest issue. We've been talking about this excavation directed by Jody Magnus of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for a decade now, I think, and visitors to the Galilee are at least now getting a sneak peek.
Now, there are a whole group of mosaics there. The one that's being put on display actually shows Solomon carrying off the gates of Gaza, which is a story, of course, found in the Old Testament. But there are what I think four or five other mosaics.
At least, I think maybe even more than that.
I have never been there to that particular site, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not been visited unless perhaps while the excavations took place. But Hukok is a village or a kibbutz, basically. When I walked the Jesus Trail in 2018, we had a driver who lived in that village. And I was tempted to ask him to take us up there just to see what it looked like. But they've been excavated and then covered up. And now they're preparing the site for visitors. And they're saying it'll take another couple of years.
I love mosaics. And I surely would like to see the ones there at Hukok. But I have not, as you said, seen it. Not available. By the way, those mosaics date mainly to the 5th century, I believe, a little bit into the 6th century, 400s and 500s. So they're from the Byzantine period. They're not really from the New Testament period, but they all do show, as you point out, various scenes from the Old Testament. It kind of shows you what the Jews at that point in time were interested in.
The mosaic art form really flourished during that period of time, and there are sites all over the Mediterranean that feature beautiful mosaics, and Hukok is a really good example of this. And we have this scale model of the village at the museum, so people can kind of get an idea of what it looked like, the whole village looked like during this Byzantine period. One of the people in charge said, it's a small site telling a big story of life during the Roman Byzantine period 1600 years ago. Typically, our tours stay at Kibbutz Ginosar, because that's where the Jesus boat also is being displayed at the museum there. So there's a lot to see, more and more to see at this Yigal Alon Center at Kibbutz Ginosar on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Well, the only building still standing built by Herod the Great, and he built a lot of them, is in Hebron, covering the Cave of Machpelah. It's the traditional burial site of the patriarchs going back to Abraham. And it may have once been considered by Herod as his burial site.
Yeah, apparently he prepared a burial site there. Now realize that he is related to Abraham. We kind of forget that. I mean, he was an Idumean, which means he was a descendant of Esau. And Esau, of course, was a son of Isaac and also a grandson of Abraham. So he does have a connection there to Abraham. And it's not surprising that he would have made himself a tomb. Now, whether he really planned to be entombed there, buried there or not, is a little bit debatable. I doubt it really, because he very quickly found out the Jews hated him. There's no question about that. They made it very, very clear, and he knew it. As a matter of fact, when he's about to die, he ordered a bunch of Jewish officials and high-ranking people arrested and put them in a Colosseum-like structure and ordered that they were all be killed when he died. He didn't want the Jews celebrating his death. Fortunately, his sister, when Herod did die, his sister rescinded that order to his army, and those people were spared. But he was hated. Probably putting his body there at Machpelah would have made it a little bit too available for people to desecrate. When I think about that, I always think about the Second World War. When the ruler of Italy, Mussolini, was finally caught by communists in northern Italy, where he was arrested and hung up, and his body was desecrated. And that was one of the reasons why Hitler committed suicide and shot himself and ordered his body to be burned, because he didn't want his body to be desecrated like that of Mussolini. And also his girlfriend was also, Mussolini was also desecrated. So I doubt he really intended to be buried there, because it was too convenient for people to get at. He actually is buried at Herodium, probably at the bottom of a very deep hill. His tomb has never really been found. According to Josephus, he was actually taken to his burial site on a golden litter, a golden bed. There might be some very interesting artifacts to be found in his burial, which has not really ever been discovered.
There,
Netzer actually thought he had found it, but I don't think so.
yeah, there is some controversy over whether or not what was found at Herodium is actually the tomb of Herod, and we've talked about that numerous times. If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Professor Clyde Billington about some of the news digest items in the latest issue of Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. One of the other items in this magazine talks about Route 60, the new biblical highway in Israel, the connection between the Galilee, the first thing we talked about, and Hebron. The second thing we talked about is Highway 60. It goes right down the middle of Israel, and it's now been declared a biblical highway.
I think that's a good name for it. And of course, this is a primary route in ancient Israel. It's now paved over. It's kind of interesting to see some of these ancient routes. This is true even in Europe. Ancient roads built by the Romans now are paved. This one, of course, is a very ancient one and now paved. And they're going to call it the Biblical Highway. I like the name.
Well, the Jewish community in Hebron has been pushing this initiative for a number of years, and it passes through Jerusalem, of course, and Bethlehem and other biblical sites. And so we here in this country can appreciate the biblical connections in Israel. There's a lot of political implications. And we've also heard that they've been doing a lot of widening on this road, a lot of construction recently to improve it, and that's led to a lot of archaeology. And maybe we'll see some reports on what they've discovered through that construction sometime in the future.
By the way, just probably every famous person you can run across in the Old Testament, one time or another, was on that road. So that's a very good name for it, including Jesus.
Most of our listeners are probably acquainted with the shofar, but in the Bible, there were also metal trumpets mentioned not only in the Bible, but also in Josephus, the ancient historian. Trumpets were also depicted in the Arch of Titus, where treasures from the Jewish temple are displayed, and trumpets were found in the tomb of King Tut in Egypt, and now they have been connected, according to one scholar.
Well, the form apparently is about the same, because they're kind of a straight trumpet. They, of course, don't have any kind of valves on them or whatever. But the ones in the Bible, apparently, according to Josephus, now we're not sure whether or not Josephus is correct. He says that the trumpets of Moses were only about a foot long, and the one, the two of King Tut, one of which was of silver, found inside of his main chamber of his tomb, was a little over 2 feet long. So the form is the same. It's a straight tube like instrument. Meanwhile, on the Arch of Titus, there are two trumpets that are depicted there, and they are very long. They are probably about 5 feet long, and they were undoubtedly used in the temple. We don't know whether they were made of gold or of silver. I suspect they were actually used to announce the opening of the Sabbath and the closing of the Sabbath, and also probably the same function for various Jewish holidays. But they are very different only in length now, not in form. The form is the same for all three of these sets of trumpets, ones of Moses, the ones of King Tut, and the ones carried off by Titus. Those trumpets carried off by Titus are kind of ignored. I kind of like this story that we brought back the idea that there were trumpets that were used in the temple. There actually was a stone found several years ago, which showed the site where the trumpet would be sounded for announcing the beginning of the Sabbath and the end of the Sabbath. So those are very interesting. We don't know what happened to them. I suspect they were carried off with all those other things later on by the Vandals and eventually got back to Constantinople and back to Jerusalem. And we've talked about that before. But the trumpets kind of get ignored, and we kind of focus on the candelabra that was there. But there were two trumpets, either silver or gold. I doubt there were anything other than silver and gold. There certainly weren't brass that depicted on the Arch of Titus. So it's kind of interesting to see this story about trumpets. They were used in the ancient world. They were used not only to announce the opening and closing of Sabbath, but of course, armies use trumpets. They can be heard from a long distance. And if you get used to certain trumpet blasts, you know what you're supposed to do. If you've ever watched any of the old cowboy movies where the cavalry shows up, you know, there's a certain call for sending out the cavalry and certain trumpet call for returning them. And also, of course, in the army, there's a certain song that's played when someone is being buried. So trumpets played a great role in history, still do. And it's kind of interesting to see this story about the trumpets of Moses and also the trumpets of King Tut.
There was that inscription that you mentioned that was found near the Temple Mount, and I believe it said something like the place of the sounding of the trumpets, and that was probably on the pinnacle of the temple, or at least the pinnacle of the temple platform.
Yeah, which is probably where Jesus had his confrontation with Satan, probably very near that very inscription.
So those are some of the News Digest items in the latest issue of Artifacts, our Biblical Archaeology News magazine. And if you want more information about how to subscribe to Artifacts in order to keep up to date on the latest discoveries and developments, we have that information at our website at radioscribe.com. We also have breaking news videos at the website from the Israel Antiquities Authority. That's another good way to keep up to date on some of the latest discoveries and developments. Right now we have, I think, three recent discoveries with a video report from the Israel Antiquities Authority, as well as a couple of others that are also quite interesting. So all of that information is available at our website at radioscribe.com. My thanks to Professor Clyde Billington for joining me on the program today. We have more reports to talk about, and we will continue this conversation in our next program. Also, if you're listening on podcast on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, we invite you to give us a positive review. That helps spread the word to other people and other people who might be interested, who are interested in biblical archaeology, and that helps the word get around. We do this program every week because there are discoveries going on all the time, and we think that it's important to have the context of the biblical world in order to understand the Bible better. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.